What up? Back again for another great episode of FTN Fantasy Show. The stomachs are full. The Thanksgiving food is hopefully in the trash by now because there's some sickos out there on the internet, Okada. Like, I posted yesterday on my Instagram, like, if you were preparing that meal, if you were firing up the turkey, the ham, the macaroni cheese, the collard greens, we are now several days past the weekend, almost heading towards the weekend, and folks are still eating Thanksgiving food. My guy Okada, you got to talk to me. What is this? What is this?
Listen, it's this obsession with this meal that is for some reason so unique, and we don't eat these foods elsewhere in the year, so we think we have to make it last. I personally don't have any, although I do have a pie from our work gives us pies at the NFL. Yeah. I still have my pie in the fridge. I actually haven't eaten any of it yet. I don't know if I ever will. It might be time to throw it away. The good news is, though, that nothing changed for the turkey because it was already trash.
How did I know turkeys were going to get shot at in this take? But the thing is, it's like I sat back and waited for it, knew it was coming, and I'm like, come on, bro. I can't believe you feel this way about turkey. I was with you until the end because I'm like, listen, to me, macaroni cheese, I don't eat it once a year. Like, I think some of the like, I guess, combinations of food isn't always together. Mashed potatoes, you know, the yams and all these things are made throughout the year. And then it's just like this one special day, we have to reheat. And again, Okada, reheat food. Like, Okada, I don't want to spend too much in the A block on this, but it's been a very, very frustrating thing to see that people are pointing at me as the guy that I'm the black sheep here. Like, I'm the guy, the crazy guy that doesn't want my Thanksgiving food 6, 7, 8 days later. I didn't do the 6, 7, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is why we invented refrigerators. So I'm not going to hate on people who want to keep eating as long as possible.
I'm hating.
But I think we might be stretching it a bit too far. Move on. It's December now, which means, you know, Christmas music is legal. We can start
make
putting
turkey
holiday
again.
Decorations.
You can make a turkey on Christmas, right? Okada's not having it.
No, you shouldn't.
See, he's not having it. Maybe a ham is fine on Christmas as well. Christmas, but many combinations of Thanksgiving meals can be prepared for Christmas. That is the end the take, folks. Throw it out. It is disgusting. Okada, what do we need to know in one of the most important games for a lot of fantasy managers out there? This is the last and final game of the fantasy regular season. What do we need to know for week 14?
All right. I've got a few of them besides apparently throw out your Thanksgiving leftovers.
That should be number zero at the top.
The golf, number zero.
Throw it away. I'm getting triggered by this. Like, this doesn't count as a crash out. I'm 10 days free from my last crash out. We are good. Even with the Rams loss. Even with a Rams loss, Okada, we are good. We're cool, calm, and collected. But tell us what we need for one.
Either, but moving on.
Moving on, Okada.
Yep. The first thing I've got for you, this is a sort of broad one. And if you read the article, you'll find some of these are like very broad and they hit on multiple teams. Some of them are a single player for a single week. So you get a lot of different perspectives. But the first one I've got for you, the Packers, Bears, Jaguars, and Broncos. So that is Green Bay, Chicago, Jacksonville, Denver. Mm. They are all very similar in that their passing attacks are too diversified to trust. Ooh. A lot of us are already getting this sense by trying to play these receivers week to week. And you all know the names. With Green Bay, is it Romeo Doubs? Is it Dontavian Wicks? Is it Christian Watson? I don't know. With the Bears, is it Rome Odunze or is he going to disappear? Is it DJ Moore or is he going to disappear? Is it Colson Levin or Cole Kmet? I don't even know which one of the tight ends it is. In Jacksonville, you've got this disaster of a mess where Brian Thomas Jr. was hurt. So Parker Washington kind of rose up, but now he's kind of falling back down as Jacoby Myers is kind of popping up. But now Brian Thomas Jr. is healthy again. He might start getting more targets. And you have Brent Strange come back. So now he's going to get targets. And in Denver, it's kind of similar. We had this mid-season surge where we thought Troy Franklin was taking over, and then he has kind of disappeared. Is Cortland Sutton really the guy? RJ Harvey getting involved a lot. I pulled up some specific numbers on these four groups. These are the number of 100-yard receivers for each team. The Packers have had six hit 100 yards, six different players hit 100 yards, and only one of them had 200-yard games, and that was Tucker Kraft, who's not here anymore. So six guys, none of the ones left have hit 100 yards twice. In Chicago, they've also had six. Roma Dunze's done it twice, but he's also busted six of the last eight games. Both the Jags and the Broncos have had five different players hit 100 yards. Only one of them, no, Travis Hunter is one of them. He's now gone. And Cortland Sutton, of course, he's theoretically one of the most reliable, but he disappeared in the middle of the year. So from week to week, it's like three or four of these guys on each team could be the one. You can never really find a consistent way to predict which one it's going to be. And for me, where I'm at, the takeaway from this is I'm trying to avoid these situations as much as possible. Even the ones that feel the most reliable, like Cortland Sutton, I have no confidence that he's not going to disappear in a Troy Franklin game in any given week. So if I can stay away and find somebody more reliable, I'm trying to do it with these four groups.
I got to be honest, Okada. I like being the team that is sneaking in by the skin of their teeth in the playoffs with Pat Bryant. I do like those teams that have Pat Bryant, because I'm telling you now, this was a podcast that was screaming that boy name Pauls all summer saying, hey, you need to take a look at this guy because Sean Payton is falling in love with him just as much as RJ Harvey. And Pat Bryant has really come on the scene, and I think that's that thorn that's in Troy Franklin's little side right now. But I would say this, again, if you're sneaking into the fantasy playoffs, you ride that wave. I've seen teams that sneak in, they make it near the end, or they make it to the end and bring it home. This is a every single week, everybody is at one round elimination next week, Okada. Some leagues are starting this week, which is insane. I told people, you need to leave next week, like next year. Get out of that league, because why am I going to play a week 17, 18 game? Like, guys may be sitting. It doesn't make sense, but I digress. Okada, what's the number two thing that managers need to know for week 14?
All right. See, now last week or last point was a bunch of different teams for maybe the whole home stretch. This is one position on one team for this week specifically. So this is exactly what I'm talking about with the article. Next one I got for you is Chase Brown, which is obvious, and also potentially a sneaky Samaje Perine are going to run rampant on the Buffalo Bills. So earlier in the year, if anyone has this stuck in their memory for some reason, hasn't adjusted, Chase Brown was awful. We know this. He had single digits in five straight games. He scored a touchdown just once through the first month and a half. But in the six games since, even though he's only scored two touchdowns, he's had 687 scrimmage yards and been the fantasy RB8.
Whoa.
And this Sunday, he gets the Bills, who have been walloped by running backs week in and week out this season. Some of you might remember Devon Achane in week 10, 37.5 fantasy points. Sean Tucker the week after, 33 fantasy points. Chase Brown has that kind of upside. But then it's also worth noting, and obviously if you have him in redraft, you're playing him. But this is just a quick note if you're looking for a DFS lineup, someone to anchor a DFS lineup with, I might look at Chase Brown. But then the other thing that I want to say is, Samaje Perine is sneaky interesting. He had 16 touches on Thanksgiving and 10 touches for 100 yards and a touchdown the last game prior that he was healthy, which was a few weeks prior.
What year is it?
Exactly. Before Thanksgiving, they had a bye, and then the week before that, he was injured. So people don't remember this, but the last two healthy games, he's had 26 touches combined, and he had 100 yards and a touchdown in that one before the bye and his injury.
Talk about going under the radar. Sheesh.
And I think it makes for a very interesting play. So if you're looking for a desperate,
because I'm on the FTN Fantasy waiver wire tool right now, and that boy's available in highly available leagues across Yahoo, across Sleeper. Hold up. In live time, Okada, you might be coming. I hope it's the league we're in, actually. Hold on. Let me check the league we're in if he's available.
Oh, I'm screwed in that league. So,
cool.
Wait, which one? Aren't we in multiple?
Regardless. We're in multiple, actually. So I'm like, wait, which league? Hold on. Go ahead.
consider playing him as a flex and consider him as a cheap DFS dart throw if you're playing DFS as well, because I think he has a good chance of double-digit touches and a strong fantasy game with a touchdown. Where are you getting him?
He's not available.
Ooh,
he's rostered, but it's fine. Okay. I have other leagues. I'm going to do that after the show. So tell me number three, in case this is number three of where I need to make moves right now, grab my phone again. So what are we doing for number three, Okada, for week 14?
All right. Number three is Jordan Love. And this is a one player, but a 3 week thing to know. And I feel like I may have mentioned this in previous episodes at some point, but over the course of now 13 weeks, we have locked in data on Jordan Love. And what we know is he is a completely different guy in good matchups versus bad matchups. 7 quote-unquote green games, so against soft matchups basically this year in terms of fantasy points, Jordan Love has averaged in those 7 games 21.54 fantasy points per game with a low of 15.9 and a high of 28.3. So he has been minimally a high-end QB2, has averaged a strong QB1, and finished as very top-tier QB1. In his other 5 games, Laquan, the not-soft matchup 5 games, he has averaged 10.1 fantasy points per game with a low of 7 and a high of just 13.3.
Well, damn.
This is making the Jared Goff home and away split situation look like child's play. This is the most stark research split I have come across doing this fantasy analysis thing for a decade plus. So you know when you can start Jordan Love and you know when you cannot start Jordan Love. And next 3 weeks, he has Chicago in week 14. That's this week. And Chicago again in week 16. Ooh, they are a green matchup. Mm-hmm. You can stream him with confidence in both those games. In between, he has a matchup with the Broncos. You can sit him for anyone that week. You go on to pick up Cam Ward off the waiver wire and stream him? Go for it. A Tua Tagovailoa? Sure. Tyrod Taylor, if he's still playing. Marcus Mariota? Anybody. So find yourself a duo. If you have Jordan Love, find yourself a duo that you can stream in week 15 and possibly also week 17, he gets the Ravens there. That's a little bit of an unknown. Yeah, in the week championship. Yeah. We'll know by then, I think, what the Ravens defense is now, but I think we don't quite know right now.
So we might get reinforcements on that Packers offense as well. Jaden Reed.
That's true.
He's cooking. He
should be coming back.
He's putting up limited practices. You know, it's been 2 weeks now, but we're talking in the time frame, like, I like him in a semifinal championship round. Like, if I could be cool, calm, and collected at the quarterback position, and for a quarterback, again, like, a lot of people were thrown to the side. There's a couple weeks where I've seen Jordan Love on the waiver wire. Like, what is he doing here? So I think you guys need to reinsure that Jordan Love is not on the waiver wire. And also, go pick up Christian Watson, man. He's available in 53% of leagues. Like, you guys need to go pick up Christian Watson, okay? Ooh. The hype, it's real. He's healthy. He looks healthy, playing explosive. He's making all the big plays. He is a huge anchor of why Jordan Love, with these green matchups, will be top shelf. So, player topics, week 14. Okada, I don't know if you're on the TikToks, but they were putting BTA to me and you. 1-2, they were putting hands and feet on us when we were talking about Mr. Terry McLaurin. He may be back. Chat, we seen it. He is back. I mean, look, I will say this. For Terry to give us 5 quarters of football, Okada, right? 14 targets. He could have had more if you would ask me, but I would say this. He looked good. We were wrong. I wasn't excited about it. You weren't excited about it. But apparently, Terry McLaurin still has Scary Terry somewhere inside.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, Laquan. Listen, listen. Is this what we're entering? It is number 6 in my article.
Number 6.
So we're basically getting a bonus thing to know here.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
He ended up with 19.1 half PPR fantasy points. It was very nice. Yeah. However, through the first half, he had one catch for 11 yards on two targets. Mm-hmm. Then he got four more catches for 62 yards on nine targets in a very garbage timey second half, but he still had single digit half PPR fantasy points at the end of regulation. So he was awful. Then garbage time got him up to 9 point something fantasy points at the end of regulation, and everybody is ignoring the fact that he scored 10 fantasy points in overtime. Listen, overtime.
You just need that extra quarter. You need that extra quarter, Okada.
It's not real. I know
fantasy points are fantasy points. The fantasy streets were barking.
Listen, I understand the reaction of fantasy managers to seeing the number in their app and wondering what the heck we were talking about. But Marcus Mariota threw the ball 50 times. McLaurin got 14 targets, a bunch of them, and a touchdown. Came in overtime, and so he ended up with a good day. I'm not convinced. I am not going to roll him out with confidence. If he has a good game in regulation only this week, then I will start to believe. We all know he's a talented receiver. Like, he's been very, very good, obviously, in previous seasons. But up until this last game, in overtime, he had not been very good for fantasy at all. So I'm not convinced yet. I understand where people are coming from, but I need to see more in regulation to be convinced.
Chat, this is why you guys listen to the show, because Mr. Matt Okada ironed it out. In four quarters, he did not get it done. We would be sitting here talking about Terry McLaurin the same way we were talking about him last week. Because in four quarters, what did he have? 9 fantasy points? Mm-hmm. We would have been so angry if we would have had started him in our flex, right? Especially of like how weird last week was. It was holiday, a lot of games was early, a Friday. Like, it was a lot going on last week. And some fantasy managers were let down, and now they were rewarded with a week 14 bye. So listen, chat, I'm telling you now, like Okada said, I need to see it again. Okay, I need to see it one more time. Like, if it's such a great movie, it has rewatchability. If it's such a great song, it has iPod love. Remember iPod love, Okada? Like, this is what it has to be for the next couple of weeks, because every single game from here on counts and matters. It's one round elimination. If you ain't the first seed with the first round bye, you are still tapped in and locked in. Let's get to the next one. This one, these folks are on a bye. But it's good to ask these questions now to make the adjustments to kind of get ahead of things, right? And I say this because Rico Dowdle, Chuba Hubbard. Last week, we saw kind of a weird type of game plan where Rico Dowdle wasn't Rico Dowdle, where Chuba Hubbard became Chuba Hubbard of what we used to know. So, Okada, I ask, coming out of the bye, with momentum, Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle looking to bounce back, in the first round of the fantasy playoffs, who gets to start? Rico Dowdle, Chuba Hubbard?
Well, I'll start it with this, Laquan. I think the way you teed it up is very telling, in that most people who were playing fantasy this year saw Rico Dowdle not being quote-unquote Rico Dowdle to the degree he had been previously, and Chuba Hubbard all of a sudden being great after not being great for a while. But
that's what happened to Rico.
There's a ram hammer on screen in case no one's watching.
Yes, for the audio listeners, you need to tap in on YouTube. However, we ain't some ugly mugs up here, okay? We're handsome fellas.
However,
clean up nice.
If we think back to the start of this year, to previous years, to the contract they gave Chuba Hubbard in Carolina, to what Dowdle has been in his career, I don't think this was abnormal. I think this is the normal. That Chuba Hubbard is honestly a very talented, very efficient running back who got injured this year and took a while to come back and took a while to get fully healthy after he came back. And in his absence, Rico Dowdle had some very, very flashy, explosive games that were very impressive. But I don't think that Carolina intends for Rico Dowdle to be a 25-touch guy. And I don't think that they intend for either of these guys to be a bell cow. What I think they intend is to ride the hot hand. And that's a nasty word or a nasty two words that are hyphenated for fantasy managers. But that is 100% what I expect from Carolina, is that they will hot hand RBBC this, and we will not be getting a true RB1 out of either of these guys. Now, both of them were oddly good overall in that game, despite how many touches they split, because for some reason the Panthers laid it to the Rams just after the Rams defense had been unbelievable against running backs all year, and they suddenly gave up 31 points. Love to hear an explanation for that, Laquan. But
you could check it out at the Sick Podcast Network. The episode dropped today. The Rams recap. You can go check it out. My thoughts on that game. We are not crashing out. We are 10 big. Days clean. Let's go.
Okay, big. But in terms of this backfield, I think you can still start both because we like of what we saw from them against LA. Like, this offense can be very good. Now, it can also be very bad. There's a very hit and miss Carolina team.
Yeah.
But when they miss, I expect both to be bad. And when they hit, I don't think we're going to get one being unbelievable. I think we're going to get both be RB2s, low end RB2s, high end RB3s.
That's not what I want to hear, bro.
I know. It's the worst.
That is literally the worst words put together in a sentence that I can hear, having one or the other of these guys, and I'm in the playoffs. Like, how I look at this backfield, it was already messy to begin with. Like, they messy, bro. Like, how you going to have bro lose his job twice to the backup running back? Like, we seen it with Deontay Foreman. Now we're seeing it with Rico Dowdle. You're taking confidence away from a guy you paid, by the way. You gave him the bag after already playing in his face drafting Jonathan Brooks. I feel like as a fantasy manager, I'm going into this coming out of the bye with low expectations from either one of them because I'm going to start them, right? If I'm skating like by the skin of my teeth with Chuba Hubbard, he is getting the start with momentum and juice. After what we just seen that he did to my elite Rams audio listeners, you can't see this hammer, but to my elite Rams defense, Chuba has juice. And he may be at the point where he's healthy enough to actually provide something in that backfield. I'm just keeping a watch, man. But I got to say, it's the worst situation to be in right now. Moving on to Denver. I want to know, real or fake, is this Evan Ingram, Rives, this involvement, the production, the trust, the faith that Sean Payton has in Evan Ingram? Because when Evan Ingram does something silly, like drop the ball multiple times, Sean Payton goes right back to him. So is this rise real or fake, Okada, with Evan Ingram?
I have never wanted something to be real more, Laquan, because I was a huge Evan Ingram fan in the preseason, in the offseason, in draft season for fantasy. And the reason was because of what I believed Sean Payton could do with him. And we saw that last week against the Commanders. 6 catches on 9 targets for 79 yards. He was great. Mm-hmm. The problem is, for some strange reason, despite the fact that most of the time they throw him the ball, good things happen, this team is not using him enough. And I circle us back to the number one point from my things to know, Laquan. You just can't trust this diversified pass group in Denver. Is it Cortland Sutton? Is it Pat Bryant? Is it Evan Ingram? Is it RJ Harvey? Is it Marvin Mims? Is it Troy Franklin? I don't know. None of them are truly trustworthy enough to roll them out with confidence. And so will Evan Ingram have another one of these good games? Probably. I hope so. I think he's good enough too. But will he have 3 games in between where he sees 4 targets and catches 2 for 12 yards? Yes, probably. So I don't think it's real enough to start him with confidence. I do believe he has the potential to be this good week to week, but I haven't seen enough from Sean Payton and this offense using him to trust that moving forward.
Not on the docket. Jumping a little ahead. Evan Ingram, Brenton Strange. Rest of the season.
This week, rest of season.
Rest of
Brenton
season.
Strange.
Brenton Strange. Yeah. Put a pin in that. Remember that. Now, Moving on to another tight end that's in question. And I say rest of the season the way I'm going to tee this up about Darren Waller because he has a nasty injury history, right? I'm not going to make believe and paint this picture that we have a tight end one healthy for the rest of the season. Always keep that in the back of your mind, listeners. Just know about the player you are working with. But Okada, what is your read though? Because I want to know your thoughts and like how you feel about this Darren Waller situation for the rest of the season. Can he be trusted?
Can he be trusted? Probably not, because he more or less has to score a touchdown to be good for fantasy. Now, in that three-game stretch earlier in the year before he got hurt, he scored four touchdowns. So, balling. He was looking very, very good. He was balling. He was the red zone option. He didn't score one last week in his return, but he'd been out for almost 2 months, and he did get 47 yards on his two catches, which is impressive. Mm. So I think he's explosive still. I think he can find the end zone if Miami gets down there and might still be their best option there. Also, it's worth noting, in week 15, he gets the Steelers. Great matchup for tight ends. And in week 16, Laquan in the semifinals. He gets the Bengals.
Here we go! Let's go! We want the Bengals on the schedule each and every week when it
correct.
Comes to our
tight ends. A lot of us were sad.
Week with the Bengals, it is championship week for the tight end.
It's fact. A lot of us were sad recently when we played Mark Andrews against the Bengals, expecting him to be amazing, and then it was instead Isaiah Likely, so we felt bad if we started Mark Andrews. But Isaiah Likely still laid it to Cincinnati at the tight end position, and the Dolphins only have one viable tight end.
Did we watch Likely fumble his way out of a contract? Just look at like how this transpired.
Yeah,
like he fumbled his way out of a contract, and then Mark Andrews gets engaged. Congrats, by the way. And then they throw the bag at him for three more years.
Wild. Wild.
I'll tell you this. This is a little look ahead for Dynasty content. I'm kind of side-eyeing Isaiah Likely because this looks like a hype-up project that I feel like has been on a good, strong 3 years, Okada. A strong 3 years. We've been painting this picture about Likely and this duo with Mark Andrews. Last year started the campaign likely to the freaking moon. I don't know about that. Right now, I'm side-eyeing him. I have a lot of shares. I acquired last year, so I'm looking at some deals last year like, God damn it. But it's cool. We're going to bounce back because we are wheeling and dealing. But moving on to Justin Herbert, this one's kind of up in the air because at the time of recording, we don't have a full send update. Nothing is in stone. So by the time you are hearing this, listening to this, watching this, and listen, Justin Herbert, the left hand, we've seen a quarterback play with an injured left hand already this season, right? This is non-throwing hand. But what does the temperature for you, like how do you feel about starting Justin Herbert himself? And then touch on the pass catchers. Like, we got to talk about them as well.
The temperature is freezing cold, Laquan. It
is cold. Yeah.
It is ninth circle of hell cold, which for those of you who haven't read Dante's Inferno, is freezing. It's not fire. Bit of old literature lore for you there.
There you go. I like that. Bring more of that.
Justin Herbert has scored fewer than 15 fantasy points in three straight weeks. This was another one of the things to know in my article, Laquan, is I am not rolling him out there. His offensive line is a disaster, an unmitigated, injured disaster, and he cannot be kept clean. And as a result, he hurt his hand. Maybe he plays this week, but if he does, I'm assuming it will be with a bunch of plates and padding and a fat glove and things that are more likely to throw him off than they are to help him. And I already wasn't liking the situation with his offensive line, how it is, with the way things have been going for the offense. They've got matchups with the Eagles and the Chiefs on the horizon, and then the Texans in championship week. I would, again, remember what I said about, who was it that I would bench? Jordan Love. In week 16 against Denver, I would bench him for Cam Ward, Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota, anyone. Same thing with Justin Herbert in week 17 against the Texans. So he plays the Cowboys in week 16. That's the one week I think you can play him. I would not play him in one QB leagues anywhere else this year.
I'm curious of this timing, though. Like, thinking ahead for the playoffs. But if we get Hampton, and Herbert can kind of just sit and hope that they get in striking distance because you have Vidal, who's explosive. And if Hampton's healthy, he's getting you close to striking distance. I'm wondering if this could be utilized efficiently of just having him just be a red zone guy, right? Justin Herbert still got to throw that rock. It still needs to find the hands of Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnson, Keenan Allen, and Aronde Gaskins. Like, this ball needs to be in somebody's hands in the end zone for, I would say, the Chargers to keep up with these opponents these next coming weeks. So I look at it like this, folks. This week, bench. Next week, let's see how it looks, right? Because I think waiting all weekend, because it's a Monday night game, folks. I like to sleep better at night knowing I don't have to worry about Mondays. My Mondays are supposed to be schedule cleared. I can just watch the game. I don't need Monday night miracles. That is the worst thing ever invented in fantasy, by the way, because that is the most stressful thing to have on your mind while watching a Monday night game after you just worked. Folks, 9-to-5ers, we out here, bro. Like, coming out of work and stress all day at work. Like, damn it. I need 10 points. Is he going to get it tonight? And then you're just scrolling on the, like, Okada, it gets nasty in the fantasy streets, bro. Like, Monday night needs to be stress-free. I am sitting Justin Herbert this week. Don't care. Don't want it. Not buying it. So.
For the pass catchers, by the way, because you mentioned that as well.
Oh, yes.
I'm scared.
Okay, give me a scared level. Give me the ranking and pecking order of how scared you are from. Scared as like Freddy versus Jason watching that movie.
Did you watch terrible? Do you remember that this is back when I was in college when Paranormal Activity came out?
Yes.
Okay. So for anyone who wasn't around for that, these were these new movies that weren't like normal horror movies that were filmed in this like the cameras inside the house. And they were very realistic.
Like surveillance. Like we had the one, it was in marked ones. They did it from a phone. Like, bro, I've seen all of them.
Somebody in my college was particularly scared of that movie. And all of his roommates, after they watched it, pranked him by tying a bunch of strings to objects in his room. And at 3 a.m. in the night, waking him up. None of them were in the room and pulling all the strings from outside. So things went moving all over the room. He ran out of the room screaming. We were all waiting in the lobby of our dorm room pool because of how funny we knew it was going to be. He was terrified. That's where I'm at. This is bad.
Why would you do that?
I wasn't a part of the roommate team that pranked him. I was just there to witness the hilarity. But last week, 151 yards, that's not enough to trust one of these receivers, let alone multiple. The game before, because they had their bye in week 12, 81 passing yards for Justin Herbert. Huh? The one before that, 220 and one touchdown. There's just not enough going around with Herbert in this like disaster of a situation. And with McConkey, Allen, Quentin Johnston, and maybe even Aronde Gadsden and Trey Harris starting to get some targets. Like, if there was one guy, if this was the Jets and Garrett Wilson was healthy, maybe I'd be okay rolling Garrett Wilson out. But with all these guys getting similar target shares and not enough of an overall pie, I don't want any of the pieces of this pie. They're all, like, wide receiver threes or worse for me right now, I think.
This is the pie that's in your fridge right now. If you're listening or watching this, throw it out.
True.
Throw it out, Okada. It's okay. We didn't get to it this year. It's fine because we can always just go to the store and get a pie today. Right?
Real.
Why hold it for 7 days, weirdo? Throw it out. I'm just saying. I'm standing on this hill and I'm dying on it. I don't care. It's disgusting. Just think about it. 6-7 day old food. Does it
stop saying that?
Ah, damn it! I really didn't set it up that way. And now that you acknowledge it, my hands won't stop. Right.
Yep.
All right. 6-7. All right. Anyway, we got to get to this or that. Week 14 ride or dies. Okay. It gets nasty this week, Okada, especially at key positions like the quarterback position. So off top, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones.
Wow. This is a close one because I do not like Daniel Jones' matchup at all. I also don't like his injury at all. But Sam Darnold also really hasn't done much for fantasy all year. So it's like, do I want the guy who I've seen be good, but in a bad situation? Or do I want the guy who I haven't really seen be good? I think I will lean Daniel Jones because he has that big playability and he has the ability to throw a touchdown after Jonathan Taylor sets him up, like you kind of laid out for Justin Herbert. I will take him by a hair, but they're very close and I don't feel good about either. If I can find someone else, Jordan Love, I would.
There you go. There's the plug. Just go get Jordan Love. Listen, Chris Olave or Jalen Waddle. Like, I am literally, this is, you know what, Okada? You're talking to me because I'm in this situation.
Ooh.
Okay. Who do I start? Do I start Jalen Waddle or Chris Olave this week?
These guys are, so the good news is I like both these guys, unlike the last question where I hate both those guys. So the real best answer here is both. If you can start both, but if you've got, I don't know, Puka, Jameson Williams, and one of these guys, so you only get to pick one of them, I think I'm going to trust Chris Olave. Primarily because they're playing the Buccaneers. From a matchup standpoint, in terms of defense, neither the Bucs or the Jets are particularly like worrying for me. But I think there is a much better chance that the Saints are throwing a lot against the Buccaneers. We need the Buccaneers offense to step up a little bit, but I expect that to happen more likely than I expect the Jets to score and force Tua and the Dolphins to throw a bunch. So I think there is a higher chance that Chris Olave gets that 10-12 target game and outscores Waddle, particularly in PPR.
I got A.J. Brown. I got Davante Adams, Jalen Waddle, Chris Olave.
Okay.
McMillan on bye with Emeka Ibuka.
Ooh. Well, you're mentioning the living daylights out of Emeka Ibuka.
Yes, that's already there. That's why we're in the conversation of Waddle.
Okay.
Olave.
Yeah.
I like it, though, because I want to keep you there. I want to keep you there, though.
Ooh.
Chris Olave or Brian Thomas Jr. I'm jumping around on the rundown. Now, I say this because folks may have spent that draft capital on Brian Thomas Jr. Folks may have been saved by their decision with the Chris Olave. If you're staring at one of these two, and we're seeing a new dynamic of that Jacksonville offense that looks pretty good, where do you go with this?
Remember earlier how I said I don't trust Jacksonville as a whole? They're one of those four teams that's hard to trust because of all the mouths there. Mm-hmm. I don't just not trust Brian Thomas Jr. I hate his guts. I'm not touching Brian Thomas with a 39 and a half foot pole, as the Grinch would say. Bro has not been good all year.
Yeah.
He had one good fantasy game.
He was force fed. He was force fed.
He had 10 targets that game. Of course, he also had 12 targets in week two, and he only caught four of them for 49 yards. And this is what we've seen from him most of the year. Yeah. Are things going to get better down the stretch? Maybe. Maybe having Jacoby Myers there helps him somehow. Although having Travis Hunter there didn't help him all that much. Maybe Trevor Lawrence has gotten better. I don't know where he's at on your mid-o-meter right now, but maybe
he's retired. He's retired. We are now calling him William. Okay.
William.
Trevor Mid Lawrence. William. I can't address him as T Law because that'll be too cool. Like, I think these players need to earn their cool nicknames. Like, yeah. I'm not with the AD Mitchell. Well, I wasn't with AD Mitchell until now because AD Mitchell has been performing like AD. Didn't have one game. Right. There you go. So I'll say this, right? Brian Thomas Jr. to me seems like his name is constantly going to come up as a start and sit for these next couple of weeks for the playoffs.
Yep, because
please read the week 14 need to know, because it's probably week 15, 16, and 17 about Brian Thomas Jr. It's a pie that I don't want any parts of. And like, when we sit here and try to play these acrobatic games, like, do I start this guy or go with the other guy? Most of the time, because look at what Brian Thomas Jr. has shown us. He is not even the guy in his offense anymore. It is Jacoby Myers. And Okada, you as a Patriots fan, you should know Jacoby can maintain the team with a mid-tier quarterback and be fantasy relevant. Look at the formula. It's nothing more full circle for me to be a huge Jacoby Myers fan going all the way back to 21 Okada, talking about he has the sure hands. It's full circle that me saying that Jacoby Myers can make a mid-tier quarterback flash at times, he is doing that with a stamp of approval of a Trevor Mid-Lawrence. Mid he is with a top five contract, which is fine. It's fine. We know he's not that. He is mid. I need him to look in the mirror and say, I am mid and I am proud. Right? Okay. Moving on to a whole nother position, right? Ashton Jeanty or Saquon Barkley. Now, Saquon Barkley is a Monday night football game, Okada. Are you locking up Jeanty and saying, forget Saquon or what?
Oh, this is a rough one, Laquan. Okay. First of all, for anybody wondering, this is not Saquon Barkley versus Ashton Jeanty because both of them are the RB1s they were drafted to be. This is Saquon Barkley versus Ashton Jeanty because both of them have kind of stunk very often. And we need
and
to
you
know.
You thought going running back worse. Heavy. I'm speaking directly to one of the league mates out there. You wanted to go running back hero heavy when everybody was identifying the red flags. He just ran 2,000 yards. This is a rookie running back behind a terrible O-line. You double tapping on the running backs. Boy, how does it feel?
Yeah, it's rough.
I love you, Zoe.
That being said, this is actually kind of an easy one for me. And I think this might be a hot take that it's easy. I think a lot of people wouldn't even have him higher. But I'm going Jeanty here. And the reason is the pass catching.
Yes.
Last 3 weeks, saving, folks. He has had 8 targets each of the last 3 weeks. He's caught 6, 8, and 6 pass, receptions, 27, 58, and 30, and scored a receiving touchdown one of those weeks. Saquon's not getting that right now. He has that ability, but he's not getting it right now. And they're doing basically the same stuff on the ground, which is 18 carries, 50 yards, no touchdown. And it's just ugly.
Getting 3 yards a pop, maybe 4. Like, it's disgusting. Yep.
On a good day, on a very good day. So I really don't like Saquon this week. I don't love Jeanty either, but I am going to go Jeanty by a hair here.
I respect it. And it's only speaking to folks that are in PPR leagues, because I don't know any folks that play in standard leagues. I like to not associate myself to folks who play in the standard leagues. It's
PPR. I don't
think
we can even call it standard anymore.
Because it's not the standard. That's why I'm like, I don't, like, when I see, like, oh, standard league, non-PPR, like, bro, come on. What are we doing? What are we why? Doing? At least go half. Like, I respect the half crowd. Yes. Like, cool. I respect y'all. I like what y'all got going over there. Y'all are cool, calm, and collective folks over there. But you know where it's at. It's full point PPR with me, buddy. But moving on, a real one that I want to call back to your Evan Engram, because you said Brenton Strange over Evan Engram. Now, somebody in that same realm, that same range of tight ends that is on the other side of this. So Brenton Strange or Juwan Johnson?
Ooh, okay. This is another one like Waddle versus Olave, where it's two names that I actually really like this week. So we're back to the positives. I like Juwan Johnson. The matchup's not quite as good. The Colts for Brenton Strange is one of the best tight end matchups, but it's not a bad matchup by any means. The Buccaneers can easily be scored on. So I think both of them are going to be tight end ones this week. I think I would say this, Laquan. In PPR, I would go Brenton Strange. And in half PPR, and I'm not even going to address you non-PPR shams, because what are you doing? In half, I would go Juwan Johnson. I think it's that close, and I think I trust Brenton Strange to get more usage, but Juwan Johnson has, I would believe, a little bit higher chance of a touchdown. So they're both great. I think you can start either one if you have both. I think if you're in a hurting spot at flex, and you're like Brian Thomas Jr. or one of these guys, I might do the double tap.
Listen, this has been a heavy double tap tight end year, Okada. Yeah. Seriously. Like, my entire one league, my home league cutthroat season, my homies from high school, I've been rocking Trey McBride and Tyler Warren all season long in the flex. Mm. My ups and downs with Emeka Buka, I was affected, but I had bounce back because we know I'm going heavy wide receiver. So having the double tap tight end strategy, oh, man. Come on, that may be something we might look at next year as well, because we got some guys that are trending towards getting some more involvement. I'm can't wait for my Trey McBride and a Ronde Gasson stack next year. Like, that's going to be amazing. Like, whew, I can't wait for all season content, Okada. But let's get to one more. This one's interesting, right? Matter of fact, let's change it up. I was going to go wide receiver Mike Evans, Brian Thomas Jr., but we already spoke about it. He is dust. I wanted to get him.
Brian Thomas Jr. is always the answer.
No, it's Mike Evans. If he's healthy, you're starting him. Period. Trevor Mid-Lawrence.
Ooh.
Or Caleb Williams this week. Sir William. T-Floor. T-Mid. Whatever you want to call him.
Okay. If Trevor is team mid, Caleb is like C whack because it is crazy week to week whether he's going to be great or terrible. It's been very up and down for him. He's been very hard to trust. To me, I will say, and I did some research on this week. It's in my NFL Pro Insights article for NFL.com.
Nice.
Caleb Williams is particularly successful when he's scrambling. And it's something he does a lot. The Packers are the best team in the league at stopping scrambling quarterbacks. So, and they're just a very tough defense in general. I am going to be very concerned about Caleb Williams having one of his down weeks this week. And if you're wondering what that means, last 3 weeks, 10 points against the Vikings, then 22 against the Steelers, then 10 against the Eagles. It's just been this all year. And I think we're looking at another 10-point game against the Packers. So while I don't like to do it often, I'm going Trevor Mid-Lawrence here, Laquan. And I will say, to his credit, he has been better of late. You talked about the Jacoby Myers effect. It is working for him. He has scored 20-plus fantasy points in 3 of his last 5 games. He scored 16-plus in 4 of his last 5 games. I think that Trevor Lawrence has a decent shot of being a borderline QB1, 18 to 20 fantasy points, and that gives me much more confidence than Caleb Williams against the Packers this week.
I'll say this, tread lightly with Caleb this week. I'm right there with you, buddy. I've been eyeing Caleb in Superflex League where I like Jordan Love a lot better, right?
Yep.
I'm even looking at, you know, Jared Goff without Amon-Ra in one league as a QB1. I'm looking at guys. Maybe you can look at me crazy all you want, but Jacoby Brissett against the Rams, and he's still available in leagues. Like Okada, if you go to the waiver wire tool on the FTN fantasy page, right? He's available in 63% of leagues in Yahoo, 50% of leagues in ESPN. Folks, what are we doing? Since he's been in the driver's seat, he's been a top 3 quarterback. What are we doing? Like, this needs to adjust, okay?
Correct.
Folks that are in the playoff contention or need some stability at the quarterback position, go get a Jacoby Brissett. What are we doing? God, that's annoying.
Nonsense.
But Okada, this has been a great show. I want you to stop down, get that pie that's been there since Thanksgiving, throw it in the trash. And everybody else, that Thanksgiving macaroni cheese and mashed potatoes, cornbread, the cranberry sauce should have been gone the weekend, right? It should have been gone the entire weekend. Throw that pie out. Okada's going to get the pie right now. There it is. It doesn't even look like the same color it was on Thursday now, does it, Okada?
It smells good.
Take a bite. I dare you. Take one bite just to say you ate it, and then you threw it away.
I can't. It's cold. It has to be hot. Apple. I have to heat it up.
Oh, yeah.
But I might do it after the show and let you know how bad it is.
Exactly. I need that review. Like, oh, my God, my brother. What are the final thoughts for the fantasy managers in Week 14, man?
The final thoughts are, don't get cute in week 14, in my opinion. This is in a crucial week. You need to squeak through to get into the playoffs, unless you're already in which case, congrats to you. And if you make it into the playoffs, keep tuning in into this show, because we are doing this show through week 17. And you know what? If you don't make it into the playoffs, still tune into this show. And I'll tell you why, Laquan, because this gets overlooked. People who tune out before the fantasy playoffs start do not understand or learn a bunch of things that happen at the end of the year that are important for the next year. Rookie breakouts, injuries, things that just change in the offensive system.
And then they come into August like, what happened?
Yes. Yes.
Well, if you were watching last season, you would have seen that Bryce Young is pretty good at this thing. Come on. That's why the Rams game wasn't a surprise to me. Go check out the Rams Recap Podcast at the Sick Podcast Network. Okada, you my dog. I'll see you next week.
Stay plugged.